the western sky. Rope an old blue norther and milk it till it's dry. Bulldog the Mississippi, then it's ears down flat. Long before you take this cowboy's hat.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. We do appreciate you listening. Busy day at the State House. We're at the State House today in Montgomery. It sounds a little janky, I think is the word I'm going to start using. It's because of, where we are. But we always appreciate your patience when we do these remotes. Still to come on the program about 30 minutes from now, United States Senator Katie Britt going to make a swing by the cloakroom here in the State House for the House of Representatives. And then in the 11:30 block, we got Bradley Cox, my colleague at 1819 News. You want to stay tuned for that. But joining us now, first time I've ever had him on, and I've interviewed a lot of lawmakers over the years, but I'm looking forward to this discussion. He represents Coffee County, House District 91, but he is a native of Spanish Fort. Joining us now, Brent Marquez, State Representative Marquez, right here in person. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, Jeff, I really appreciate you letting me come on.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. Your first time on this program, but yes, you know our area pretty well.
I do, and grew up on the Eastern Shore, went to Fairhope, and then went to the University of Alabama and moved to Enterprise in 2000, bought a small business there and raised my children, have two daughters and a wife that I met at the university. And, it's both areas are great places. Enterprise is now my home and very proud of that and just proud to represent that area.
Yeah, well, and then now we share a congressional district, apparently. You're back in the first congressional district.
Yes, sir, which is an interesting dynamic. Changing from the second congressional to the first, it put us in an unfortunate position of having two incumbents run against each other, and that's a both are good gentlemen, and it's a shame that they had to run against each other, and I really hate that the judicial system did what they did to the maps, but we're going to have to live with it for now, but hopefully we can change that.
Well, let's talk about Enterprise these days. I mean, you do have the congressman there, at least for now. We'll see how that plays out.
Yes, sir.
On March 5th, but U.S. Senator Enterprise very in the middle of the political world right now.
Yeah, and very proud of both Congressman Moore and Senator Britt, both Enterprise natives and both friends, and they are doing a great job in Washington. And Senator Britt is young and has a very bright future in the Senate, and Congressman Moore, we'll see how it goes with Congressman Carl. I hate that they had to run against each other, but it's going to work out, and hopefully down the road we can fix this.
So what do you hear from your folks there? And you got what, Elba Enterprise?
Elba Enterprise, New Brockton.
Yeah. What do you hear from your folks? Because sometimes you get in this bubble, and especially this Montgomery bubble, it's right now gambling.
True.
School choice a little bit. There's some other things out there, but that is kind of sucking up all the oxygen right now.
It is in Montgomery, but back home, really, it has been for many years. The focus has been Highway 167 and having it four lane from the Florida line all the way to Troy and having a north-south corridor through Pike Coffee and Geneva County. And it's a direct line to the beach. It would help the panhandle evacuation route. There's going to be an estimated 1 million people moving into the panhandle in the next 10 years.
Right.
Not only would it help with the evacuation, but it also helped with economic development. It would change the Wiregrass. Dothan is the biggest municipality in the Wiregrass, and Highway 52 coming out of that being four lane to connect to 167 to Hartford in Hartford is a very it's a great thing. It's an artery that Dothan needs, and to help out the whole region to connect 167 from Florida all the way down to the interstate and to the beaches would be the next thing on the agenda, and that is the focus for my constituents.
Well, and we had Representative Sorrells on last week. We talked about 167. You know, like, I used to think of it, you're going down 231 and you hang that turn in Troy and you head down to the Panama City Beach, don't you? Right out there at Panama City Beach. But I talked to Weston Spivey, Geneva County Commissioner, about it. And one of the big things the governor has made part of her transportation plan is that interstate connectivity to all 67 counties. And she's checking them off one by one. They got Cherokee County out of the way. Looks like Fayette County is on the way. Geneva County is one. Coffee County is one. Now, I suppose technically once 53 is done, yeah, but you have a straight shot on 167 I-10. And what makes that one a little more interesting is that the Florida DOT is chomping at the bit to get to work, right?
That is correct. We met with the Florida DOT a number of years ago, some of our other members of the House and Senate and other representatives out of the municipalities and counties went down to Florida and met with the DOT down there. And they are very much wanting and needing that outlet, north-south outlet, out of Panama City Beach and Panama City. And it's vital to even 30A to help funnel people out of there. You know, Hurricane Michael showed the deficiencies we had as far as moving people and in a crisis. And it's something that it really needs to be done. And it's something, I think, a focus of Senator Brett. And we're just trying to get it on the radar with DOT. And I think they are now seeing the need of that. And I think they're coming around to the focus to see our what we're trying to present is factual as far as the needs that the state needs and that region needs.
Where do you think that is? I mean, I know Shelby got some money for a feasibility study. But these things are sometimes decades in the works. But we've been talking about this one since I was a teenager.
Right. And that's just it. And anytime there is a project of this magnitude, it is not an overnight project. And every time you move the needle, and that feasibility study that Senator Shelby financed a few years back was enormous in moving the needle forward. We had to have that to show the economic development side and also the need for safety. And so even though dirt hasn't been moved, every little bit helps toward getting that. And Highway 52 being in four lane from Dothan essentially to Hartford is another step in that.
Well, keeping an eye on that, and hopefully things will work out. We're joined by Representative Rhett Marquez here on the program. The other issues of the day, once this gambling's out of the way, I guess you guys will gavel in and then kind of go, everything's going to the committees right now. Right. But in the interim, what do you think that looks like beyond gambling? You think you're going to be swinging away? I saw ballot harvesting came out of the Senate. But where do the priorities lie beyond gambling?
Well, beyond gambling, I would say the next priorities would be the divisive concepts or CRT, whichever one you want to call that. That will be coming up, and obviously ballot harvesting is one of our big focuses. We were able to pass that out of the House last year and divisive concepts out of the House last year, and for whatever reason, they stalled in the Senate. But this time it's come in reverse, so I feel good about getting those done. The ballot harvesting is one of those things we need to do quickly so we can make sure that it is enacted before November. And then after that, I'd say we still have some heavy lifts with ethics, with school choice. That is the number one priority for our governor. So that's going to be coming up. And but there's other things that there's a lot of big items during the session outside of gambling. Gambling right now is the focus and what's kind of, as you said, taking the oxygen out of the air. But there's more to come.
What's the mood on school choice in the district?
In my district, it's tough because of the fact that we do not have a charter school, nor do we have a private school at all. So our schools, we are very proud of the schools in Coffee County. We have no failing schools, and we have the Enterprise City School, Elba City School, and the Coffee County County schools are all at a high standard. So there is a reluctance to, in some respects, to channeling money and making it universal. There's some challenges there to make that work, but I think a lot of people want their child to have a choice. So it's just threading the needle there to get something that everybody can live with. And so it's going to be something that's going to be interesting. I have not read the governor's proposal yet. I'm looking forward to doing that after we get through with this initial pass of gambling or fail, whichever one it comes, the initial vote, I should say. And so after we get that through that, and we'll start taking up these other issues.
It's interesting you say that. There's no private schools in Coffee County.
Let me correct myself. There is one that goes to fifth grade, okay. But it's a Christian school, and they do a very good job, but it only goes to fifth grade. So there is one technically.
The example I always use is just right next to you in Covington County, and I've interviewed the mayor of Andalusia a few times over the years, and he's like, look, we want a new football stadium. We want a ballet recital hall. We the community comes together and gets these things done. If the state of Alabama comes into our community and starts tinkering with the funding mechanisms, and whenever you talk about the government entering the marketplace, sometimes it's unintended consequences that you really do impact. You wanted to be a force for good in places where it's needed, but in places where it's not needed, it could have some unintended consequences.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's, again, that goes back to making sure that the bill is fair to all the parents, the homeschool children, the homeschool parents, but also the public schools, because and right now the way it's written, there is school choice right now. It's just for failing or D schools systems, and I don't like to use grades for school systems because everybody has a different kind of challenge in different areas. But what we do in Coffee County is not the same as Lauderdale County or DeKalb County or Mobile County or Jefferson County. So a universal for all school choice it would be difficult for my constituents to take.
Well, that's what I try to explain. I mean, being on the right, being conservative generally means you are pro school choice.
Yes.
But, there's two problems. Number one, one-size-fits-all government solution is always something conservative shuns.
Something goes wrong every time.
And the second part of that is it's a government solution to a private problem, right? I mean, or a cultural problem, let's say. And, I mean, maybe it's cultural, but I tend to think that there are some problems in the culture that have led us to where we are. So that's just the point, right, that, there's not a government solution for everything necessarily.
You said the word that I use a lot, unintended consequences. One size does not fit all. It's just, it doesn't work out well. And, there is, I think the governor has been researching this and working on this, and which is why it's her priority, because, you said it, Republicans want children to have a choice of their schooling and to better themselves. And parents want the best for their children in most cases. But on the other side of that is if you're taking $7,000 or $6,900 or whatever and funneling it from a public school, say out of Coffee County, and moving that money to someone in Jefferson County, that people don't react well to that.
Right. So it's just, but it does sound like with the governor's plan, an incremental approach kind of
hers is a lot more regimented and not more as universal as the other ones that have been brought forth. Hers is a lot more conservative as far as how the money is moved and who is who can use the money, and there's some accountability there. And that's the other thing is accountability. If you give people state tax dollars, there needs to be some kind of accountability to where that money is used.
Yeah. Well, Representative, we got to leave it there. We're out of time.
But, thank you so much for having me.
You're very kind to come by, and maybe we can do this again sometime later on down the road during the session.
Yes, sir. Well, I look forward to it. Thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
Thank you for coming by. State Representative Rhett Marquez here on the program. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone.